Oh. This evening, we've been asked to recount, let us say, share our memories of our spiritual master, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahansa Parivachukacharya, Ushputara Satoshi Shimad, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. On these days, the appearance day of our Divine Master, and tomorrow the disappearance day of our spiritual master, we extend our deep gratitude to him. We reconfirm our vows of service to him, and we pledge ourselves to him forever after. With great expectation, we look forward to nitya seva, or eternal service to our master in the spiritual sky. And on such days as this, we take great pleasure in glorifying our spiritual master. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, especially for those of us who speak continuously every day, we find that there are almost unlimited subject matters in Krishna consciousness. Although, as we mentioned the other morning in Bhagavatam class, Krishna consciousness, of which we understand the essence in Srimad Bhagavatam, really it's about the Lord Prabhuji. It's about the Lord, the devotee, and the process of devotional service. Nevertheless, it's almost mystical how a devotee can take one aspect of the philosophy and speak on it, develop it, embellish it for hours and hours and hours on end. We heard how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur once spoke on the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam in Dhaka, now Bangladesh. He described that as the second Vrindavan. Had so many temples when it was flourishing under India's rule in Krishna consciousness. He lectured on the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam for 3 months. So many subject matters of which we can speak extensively, but I know for myself, and I'm sure it's the same for many of my God brothers and God sisters, this subject matter, my spiritual master, your spiritual master, be he our Diksha Guru or our Shiksha Guru, he's as dear to all of us as our very life. This is my favorite subject matter. Because it is he and he alone, by whose mercy I can understand the very process of Krishna consciousness, I can understand the practice of Krishna consciousness, I can understand the goal, I can understand the siddhanta, I can actually enter one day by his mercy into the nitya seva of the divine couple, Shishi Radha Madhava, in the spiritual sky. So in essence, he is my be-all and end-all of existence, my spiritual master. He delivered me from the depths of illusion, the ocean of material existence. He's maintaining me in my struggle to advance to the highest perfection in Krishna consciousness. And by his grace, I will one day be delivered. He's my be-all and end-all of my life. One time, Prabhupada said, "I do not know who is Krishna. I only know my Guru Maharaj." And I saw many times how Prabhupada's life itself revolved around his spiritual master. Whenever we would give him credit in our infancy in spiritual life, we learn that essential point of glorifying the spiritual master. It was our greatest joy. I was in the room sometimes when Prabhupada would be glorified, and he would just bow his head in true humility and say, "No, it is all the mercy of my spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur." So this is these are the deeper feelings of a Vaishnava. He owes everything to his spiritual master. So this is not the kind of class you have to prepare for. Many of us, we have some mental outline of what we'll speak about in class. Sometimes we have our little notes here and there. No, this is a subject matter of the heart. This class we can speak from deep realization because we ourselves have experienced what it's like to be saved from the hellish conditions of this world. We know to whom the credit is due. The deep satisfaction that we have in our lives, rendering devotional service, being reinstated in our original constitutional position, jivera supoya krishnera nitya das. We hear about our constitutional position. It's almost a formal English phrase of the previous century. That English was still around in Prabhupada's early days, the British English. This is our constitutional position. You won't find a phrase like that in modern English. Our constitutional position. We know what it means. To give up all the false designations of the body and all that goes along with it. And just to be Krishna's servant. How happy we are being Krishna's servant. And the joy we experience with every day as we make progress on the path of pure devotion. We owe it to our spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada. We've only been given 1 hour. We already sang for half an hour. How we could go hours and hours and hours glorifying Srila Prabhupada. Our greatest joy, pleasure. As I mentioned yesterday, I first met Prabhupada through his devotees. I think it's very rare that actually the first person you meet as you enter into the divine life of Krishna consciousness is your spiritual master. Usually you meet his representative by whose mercy, by the spiritual master's mercy, is also potent enough to convince you to take up this process. I mentioned the other day that I first came in contact with devotees who truly loved Srila Prabhupada, and I mentioned how it was contagious. Because of that short association, only 3 days living with some Maharajas, I became determined to practice Krishna consciousness. I gave up everything that was near and dear, sold everything I had, which amounted only to about $1,800. All I had, I was just a young boy, teenager, all of my possessions, when I sold them in a yard sale, I put them all out in the front yard, put up a sign for sale. People stopped in their cars. At the end of the day, it all totaled $1,850. You know, boys starting in life. Presented myself at the Detroit Temple. I'd been visiting there after the sannyasi's visit. I'd been visiting there for 6 months or something. And my long hair, my baby beard, you could say, young boy's beard in those days. I knocked on the door, and the temple president, he answered the door. He said, "Oh, Brian, you're here." I said, "Yes, I want to join ISKCON." He said, "I never thought you would join. You have so many things you're doing out there in life and this and that." And I said, "No, I've understood after chanting Hare Krishna and following his principles for some time, it's all nonsense. Well, come in." Within 15 minutes, I was shaved up. That's how fast it was in those days. While they were shaving me up, that my former wife, they were putting her in a sari, and within 30 minutes, we were sitting in the evening Bhagavad Gita class with Kunti Mala, Tilak. This process is very quick. It acts very quickly in the heart. We were talking about procrastinating. There was no time to procrastinate in those days. Within 3 days, I was asked to give my first Bhagavatam class. I'm serious. 72 hours later, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishna's blue. He has a peacock feather. He wears a yellow dhoti. And he plays a flute. Is there any questions? Ten days later, I was maybe a little more than 10 days later, Mother Sitala, who used to preach to me when I was coming to the temple, maybe she can set the date straight. Within a very short time, I was the Sankirtan leader taking the Harinam party out. Things move very quickly. At least it seemed like that. When you're doing something you don't like, time moves very slow. When you're doing things that you enjoy, time moves very quickly. I'm speaking about something that took place over 35 years ago, but really it seems like just it was yesterday. Such is this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness. Just like yesterday. Time has flown by because this is the most relishable thing, service to Guru and Ganga, our constitutional position. Within a month or so, Śrīdhara Prabhupāda visited the Detroit temple. It was something everyone was waiting for. Those were the days. I think one of my god sisters wrote a book, Prabhupada is Coming. That was such a wonderful thing when Prabhupada would come. The whole temple would be renovated. Everything was new and fresh and et cetera, et cetera. And because I don't have so much time, Prabhupada came. It was a wonderful visit. Just captured my heart with his scholarly lectures, devotional lectures on the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita. He endeared me by his perfect example in Krishna consciousness. He charmed me by his devotion to the Lord. Whatever surrender was not there was there at the end of Prabhupada's visits. And when he was walking out of the temple to leave and go in a car, I was already feeling deep separation. I hadn't got to meet him personally. In fact, I didn't get initiated. I'd been a devotee for 6 or 7 months, and I think you had to be like 8 months to get initiated. I was a few days shy of the time for initiation. I was devastated. So I ran upstairs, and I'd kept $10 out of the 1,850. Please don't tell my temple president about that. I'd kept $10 for emergencies. I thought, I'll give it to Śrīdhara Prabhupāda. It's all that I had left. So I quickly wrote a note, Dear Śrīdhara Prabhupāda, please accept my most humble obeisances, all glories to you. Thank you so much for coming to the Detroit Temple. I'm a new member in this movement. I'm the newest aspiring of your devotees, of your disciples. I just missed initiation. I hope you'll initiate me one day. I love you very much. I miss you. Hare Krishna, Bhakti Brian. And I put it in an envelope, put my $10 in there very carefully, ran down the stairs. Prabhupada was just getting in his car. There was a few hundred devotees around him. And in my novice state of Krishna consciousness, I yelled out, Śrīla Prabhupāda! And everyone froze. And, you know, everyone kind of looked around like, what is this? And Prabhupada was there, and he looked around, and everyone was in shock. Prabhupada smiled. And he went, you know how you do. I don't know what is yes or what is no. I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. indicating I should come forward. I came forward. And I was like, the line opened up, and I walked forward. And I was shaking. I said, Srila Prabhupada, this is for you. And he very took it and folded it and put it in his kirtab pocket. And he smiled, and then they closed the door, and boom, the car went off. I thought that was the end there. I felt satisfied I'd given a personal gift to Prabhupada. Lo and behold, a couple of weeks later, maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, we heard the conch. And in those days in the Detroit temple, if some letter arrived for a letter from Prabhupada arrived for one of the devotees in the temple, then we would all, the conch would blow and all the devotees would assemble in this sort of like living room. As you just walked in the temple off to the left, there was a little room there, so we would assemble. And then the devotee, if he wanted, he would read the letter. So, one day we were working and cooking and cleaning, and oh, a letter from Prabhupada arrived. Everybody stop whatever they're doing. It's like the gopis, they were doing so many things. When Krishna played his flute, they dropped everything. We all ran. And the devotee, who was taking care of the mail at the time, Urukram Prabhu, he stood up and said, so we have a letter for one of our devotees. You know, I was thinking maybe it was, obviously it was one of the senior devotees. You know, I'd only been a devotee. He said, today Prabhupada has sent a letter to Bhakta Brian. And then somebody next to me said, that's you. That's me. I stood up and then I took the letter and then I read it out loud. My dear Bhakta Brian, please accept my blessings. I want to thank you so much for your letter and for your very kind donations towards my newly founded Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. I have information from the senior devotees in the Detroit temple that you are doing very nicely in Krishna consciousness. So my request to you is that you always continue to follow in the footsteps of advanced devotees. Become fixed up in Krishna consciousness, and in a very short time, I will accept you as my duly initiated disciple. When I read that, it was like the perfection. There are certain things which are, I think, in the hearts of Vaishnavas are etched, like they say, etched in stone. It's just, that was one of the things that are in my heart. It was like, I think it was Mukunda who had made some offense by going to some lectures he wasn't supposed to attend, not very devotional lectures. And when Lord Chaitanya heard that, he ostracized him. I will not allow this Mukunda to come into my association. But the devotees insisted. It was just a small deviation. He's a very wonderful devotee. And Mahaprabhu stated, I will only accept the service of this Mukundadatta in about 1 million births. And when that news reached that devotee, he started dancing in ecstasy. Oh, he has said he will definitely grant me audience in 1 million years. Hariva! Because how long have we been in this material world? Since time immemorial. That means you can't even count. That's a way of saying you can't count with your limited mind and senses. When I heard that Prabhupada was going to grant me initiation, I knew he had already accepted me in his heart, which is the real initiation. I was overjoyed. And then he signed it, your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. P.S. Postscript. I very much appreciate your feelings of separation from me. I am also missing my Guru Maharaj. I am also feeling his separation. But I always feel that he is watching over and protecting me. Then there were Prabhupada's initials, just A's like that. So at that time, that was nice, but it was that letter that really gave me solace, that really gave me comfort. Years later, when Srila Prabhupada actually departed this planet, I can tell you frankly, We never thought Prabhupada would leave. It was as if that joyous life of Krishna consciousness would go on forever, as it should be, and it will be, one day in the spiritual world. But because we fell from grace into this material world, we had to experience that separation now, which, as they say, separation makes the heart grow fonder. It was a very difficult moment when Prabhupada left, but my experience is that, whereas in material life, when someone passes away, you know, time heals the wound as you develop other relationship in your memory. It seems to me that in Krishna consciousness, when my spiritual master passed away, the opposite was true. My attachment to him grows with every day, every month, every year in his separation. So that letter, which was unfortunately lost in time, still remains etched within my heart. And sometimes when I am missing Śrīla Prabhupāda, because we do miss Śrīla Prabhupāda, he's our savior, he's our deliverer from grace, he's our eternal guide in the spirit, he's the dearmost person in my life. When I'm missing him, I just close my eyes and remember that postscript. I'm also missing my Guru Maharaj, but I always feel that he's watching over and protecting me. It seems as if Prabhupada knew exactly what to say to each disciple to bring him to Krishna consciousness, to maintain him, and to deliver him. A year later, Prabhupada expressed his desire that some of his senior devotees from the United States go to Europe to further pioneer the Krishna consciousness movement there. Great stalwarts in Krishna consciousness, great pioneers in Krishna consciousness, like Shyamsundar Prabhu and Mother Malati. These are great pioneers to be eulogized for generations to come. Guru Das and so many wonderful devotees who went to London and established, and other devotees went different places, but Prabhupada had heard about Europe. He'd visited once or twice London, and he heard that he needed some senior men, so my GBC, my temple president, volunteered to go. Now, when I heard that, this adventurous spirit awoke within me, because I'd read in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am adventure. The adventure of what? You know, going out and finding the secrets of this material world? No. The adventure of spreading Krishna consciousness. That's how we see it. That's real adventure. Not going and pioneering materialistic civilization in some new part of the world, pioneering space. No. Real adventure is going, depending on the Lord, and opening up new temples, making new devotees, translating into foreign languages, Prabhupada's books. This is real adventure. So when I heard that, I went to my temple president and I said, can I go with you? Well, I think it would probably be good if I had an assistant. Do you know Europe? Now, by Krishna's arrangement, I'd been to Europe a couple of years before. I spent a couple weeks there as a tourist. So I told a little bit of a white lie. I said, I know Europe like the back of my hand. I know London. I know Barcelona. I know Zurich. I know Sydney. No, I mean, I know. I got caught. He said, do you know Paris, France? I said, no, but I can learn. He said, okay. You could come with me if you can get us on the same plane as Śrīla Prabhupāda, who's going from New York City to London in 2 weeks' time. That was a challenge. Just to see if I could be like a secretary and do things, be efficient, not just a talker. So within minutes, I was in the office and I was making a phone calls, and I called up, what in those days we had TWA, Trans World Airlines. I called up their number, 1-800 number, and I got some representative of ticket sales. And I said, excuse me, ma'am, I'd like 2 seats on flight 103 from New York to London on whatever it was, July 2nd. She said, let me see. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. That flight is already overbooked. And we have 164 people on the waiting list. It's impossible. And I said, no, no, you have to understand. I want to serve my spiritual master. I'm going to serve my spiritual master. You have to understand. Brahmanda Brahmati Konya Bhagavan Ji. Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai Bhakti Lat Bij. That the living entity is transmigrating from time immemorial, from one universe to the next, from one species of life, from one body to the next. It's only by great mercy he comes. Excuse me, sir, what are you talking about? I said, he's my guru, you don't understand. Tadvidi paripatena, pariprashana sevaya, upadikshanti tekenam, ganinas tatvadai. Every intelligent man and woman should have a guru. Do you have a guru? Sir, I don't have a clue what you are talking about. So I got like, I said, do you love your father? She said, yes, actually I do love my father. My father raised me and was always loving and caring and educated me and put me through school and this and that. I said, well, it's something like that. This is my spiritual father. He's helping me, like your father helped you advance in material life. He's helping me in spiritual life. Do you believe in God? She said, yes, I'm a good Christian. I said, well, just like Jesus, he's helped. So I was preaching to her like this. So after 20 minutes, she said, just excuse me one moment, my supervisor is calling me. So she went, she came back. She said, the good Lord must be looking down on you, boy. The supervisor, while I was speaking with the supervisor, we got two cancellations. And she was just about to put, you know, one of the 164 on the waiting list or overbooked or whatever. And I said, no, there's a nice young boy on the phone who wants to be with his spiritual father. Let's move them to the front. And she agreed. So you have the seats. A couple of weeks later, we drove to the Detroit, from Detroit to New York, and I give a summary of the pastime where we consider a pastime because it's all with Srila Prabhupada. Everything he did was a pastime. His grace was that we were allowed to participate in his wonderful devotional service to the Lord, as unqualified as we were. Just like Prabhupada said one time, Lord Ramachandra conquered Lanka and Ravana with monkeys and bears. He said, in the same way, I'm conquering this world with my disciples. So it was his grace that he allowed us, unqualified as we were, to participate in his pastimes, spreading Krishna consciousness. We described how we arrived at the airport and the security stopped Prabhupada and wanted to see what was in his white bag, and then I opened the bag, and then they let us through. We walked. I received my three instructions about how the living entity becomes covered and how we awaken our spiritual qualities by engaging in devotional service. And then we went up the steps to the plane and we sat down, and it was just me and Prabhupada. Pradyumna, his secretary, had not arrived on the plane yet, and there was one other person, I forget who it was, but there were four of us, but there was just me and Prabhupada. So we're sitting, and I'm very nervous because I'm sitting next to his divine grace, and I had not had that much association up until that moment, personal association with Srila Prabhupada. And although he was small in stature, he seemed as big as a giant to me because of his pure devotional qualities. And I was sitting there, so Prabhupada looked at me. He said, so, Indradumna, is there some prasadam? And I froze because it wasn't my service to arrange for Prabhupada. It was actually the secretary who obviously had that prasadam, nice prasadam. But just as we had gone through the security, someone handed me a plastic bag with oranges in it and a little knife. In those days, you could carry a little knife on the plane like that, a little knife and a little plate. And I just remember, I looked at me, I said, oh, Prabhupada, there's oranges. He said, oh, perfect, he said, that's very nice. Put the table down like that, and I, you know, I was so, my hand was shaking. I'm actually preparing prasadam for my spiritual master. And I cut the oranges into four sections. There was three of them like that, and I put them on a plate. I handed it to Prabhupada. Took that little pointer, making a lot of noise. Then he would take the peel after he'd sucked all the juice out like that. He put a pin on the plant. And I was what? He went through all, every single one, he like that. And some water. So, Indrajumna, you're going to take prasad? I looked in the bag, there were no oranges left. So in my foolishness, ever the fool, in front of the guru, I said, Srila Prabhupada, there's no prasadam left, you ate it all. So Prabhupada looked at me and he smiled. This, you know, another thing captured in my heart. Closed my eyes at difficult times. The smile of Prabhupada. He said, no, Indradumna, there's maha, maha prasad. So I, oh, yes, Srila Prabhupada, thank you very much. So I, wow! Because in those days, to get some maha from Prabhupada was like, it was almost impossible because the secretaries, you know, and the sannyasis like Brahmananda and the big boys, you know, they'd either also. We have to come afterwards like a little mouse and get this on the ground, something, you know. And here I had these orange peels. I was just so overwhelmed and just so happy, and I just picked up the orange peel and put it in my mouth. Have you ever eaten orange rind? It stings. What Prabhupada was expecting was I would also suck a little juice out and then, you know, take that and throw the orange rinds away. What I did is I started eating the orange rind. My lips were burning. It was there were tears coming down my eyes. Oh. But I was in bliss. I ate every one. I had one left. I looked at Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was like this. Like, what are you doing? Sometimes we hear how the mercy of the spiritual master is very sweet. Sometimes it's very bitter. So I stopped. I took that last orange peel and I put it in my pocket. And you know, when you get to London, you're supposed to declare any fruits or vegetables. So I took it and I wrapped it in it. In a cloth and in another cloth and another. There's no way I was going to give up that orange peel to, you know, customs and immigration. And actually, I think it lasted about 6 months. Every day before going in Sankirtan, I take a little bite. Guru Maharaj's Mahaprasad. And later I read in great ecstasy how Madhavendra Puri, when he received that cup of sweet rice from Kirakori Gopinath, he'd hid that sweet rice under his skirt and it was delivered by the Pujari later on to Madhavendra Puri, who was humbly hiding someplace else, not wanting to be recognized as a great devotee. We hear how he relished the sweet rice, and then he, through the months that came, he'd break down that little cup and he'd eat the remnants of that cup. So eventually, passengers came, Pradyumna was there, there were three of us sitting in the row there, and boom, the plane took off. And after the announcements were made and people settled in, and then the it was time for the movie. So, you know, everyone closed the shutters, shades like that, and the plane became dark, and then, boom, the movie. So while that's all going on, I take out my Bhagavad Gita. Now, those days we had Bhagavad Gita bigger, so I took it out, and I was going to watch movies. The Prabhupada says, these movies are Maya.